Chapter 10.
That the man?
That's him, said Higgins. They were standing behind a plate glass window in one of the sub-basements of the federal building, level B4, one of the underground levels that wasn't listed on the building directory, and which the regular elevators did not give access to. And the other levels below it could only be reached through a large freight elevator, its shaft cleverly concealed behind one of the walls on the maximum security level above it. Behind the glass, Steele lay naked on his back on an operating table, the extensive damage to his body clearly visible.
You don't look too good.
No, he doesn't, Higgins admitted. But the damage looks much worse than it actually is. Except for the facial wound, which we can fix, it's mostly superficial wounds and cosmetic damage. He's on downtime right now, but when we're finished with him, he'll be as good as new. Even better, in fact. We're going to make him a few improvements. By the time we're finished with him, it'll take much more than machine gun bullets to stop him. He'll be a real heart attack.
You sure mess up the skulls good.
Higgins turned to look at the huge black man standing behind him. He was a monster of a man, clean-shaven and completely bald, about 6'7" tall, and dressed all in black. When he spoke, he sounded like the voice of doom. He had to weigh close to 300 pounds, but not an ounce of it was fat. His chest was at least 60 inches around, and his arms were larger than most men's thighs. Straining the fabric of his shirt, his lats were like wings, flaring down dramatically to a small, trim, muscular waist, giving his upper body a dramatic V-shape. His powerful thigh muscles bulged against his trousers. Higgins couldn't see his eyes. They were hidden behind dark sunglasses. He might not look like much right now, Ice, Higgins said, but you're looking at the finest, most sophisticated fighting machine in the world. He could throw you clear across the room with just one hand. Ice grunted.
I believe that when I see it, but I didn't come here to see no operation, Higgins. You promised me immunity and a crack at the man who took me down.
And you'll get it, Higgins said. You'll receive full immunity for your cooperation and a chance at Victor Borodini. Believe me, we want him just as badly as you do. Ice turned his shaded eyes towards Higgins. His face looked like it was carved from obsidian.
Nobody want that man as bad as I do, Jack.
I won't debate the point, said Higgins. Frankly, I don't care who gets Borodini or how, as long as he's taken out of the picture. You want him? You can have him.
When?
When the time is right, said Higgins.
And when will that be?
When we're finished in there, said Higgins, pointing at the operating theater. Several white-coated, surgically masked people started filing in. He's the man you're going to be working with.
That ain't part of the deal,
I snapped.
I ain't taking orders from no policeman.
You will from him, said Higgins, or he'll snap you right in two.
We'll see about that.
You want to try him? Be my guest, said Higgins with a smile. It'll be your funeral. You saw what he did to your old friends. By the time we're finished with him, he'll be even more powerful. We're using stronger polyblend skin grafts, and we're building weapon systems directly into his prosthetics, slaved to his cybernetic brain. He'll be able to kill with just a thought.
Sound like one mean machine,
said Ice. You could put it that way, Higgins said.
Wonder what he think about all this.
Right now, he isn't thinking anything, said Higgins. He might be dreaming, but I wouldn't know for sure without checking the monitors.
If he be dreaming,
I said, staring through the window.
Gotta be some kind of nightmare.
In his dream, Steele was lying strapped down to a table, held down by metal restraints, while a surgical team gathered all around him. Only instead of surgical tools, they were holding microphones and minicams, pointing them down at him as they clustered around the table, shouting questions. Lieutenant Steele, what's it like having a computer for a brain? How does it feel to be part human, part machine? Is it true your wife left you because she didn't want to be married to a robot? What about your children, Steele? How do they feel about their father being a cyborg? Come on, Lieutenant. Give us a break. The people have a right to know. Come on, Steele. Your news.
News.
He explains to the people about who you are and what you are, said Linda Tellerman, pulling off her mask. She stuck a microphone into his face. Her eyes were misty. What about it, Steele?
Let me explain to the people.
The people have a right to know.
What you are. What you are. What you are.
Susan Carmody stood over him, blood splattered all over her laboratory whites. I'm sorry, Steele. She shook her head, a tear sliding down her cheek. I'm sorry. He thrashed on the table, struggling against his restraints, but he couldn't break free. He looked to the side and saw Father Casey standing there in his tweed jacket and priest collar with a silver cross around his neck. Liam, help me. I'd really like to help you, Steele, the priest said, but I'm not sure that I can. There are no easy answers. And suddenly, Liam Casey turned into his father, stuck a .45 into his mouth, pulled the trigger. I'm getting some pretty active readings here, Doctor. Dr. Gates glanced at the monitor.
He's only dreaming. Having a nightmare, it looks like.
Should I bring him down some more? Yeah, why not? Said Gates. Watch the modulation, though. Let's give the man a little peace and quiet for a while. Looks like he's been through a war. He sighed and shook his head. Christ, look at that, will ya? So I spend months on this guy, and in just one day he goes and ruins all my good work. Is the damage that severe? Nothing we can't handle. This time, though, let's see if we can't make him a little more unbreakable. He glanced around at his team. Hope you people all had plenty of rest. This is going to take a while. He checked the monitor again. Okay, he's settling down a bit. We might as well get started. Pleasant dreams, Lieutenant Steele. The end.